CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going into orbit with Hubble, the most successful NASA robot ever launched. And this update from the official site for Bob Zimmerman of Behind the Black to comment on. This is the July fundraising opportunity for Bob Zimmerman and his loyal fans. In addition, there is a turn this year that is very attractive. Bob has four books, e-books. If you provide $35 or more in your generosity, Bob will send you one of his e-books. Plus, you'll get his email and you can correspond about all these matters with Grumpy himself. We begin with something. Bob has written the biography of Hubble, Universe in a Mirror. He knows this robot very well. July 8th, 2021. This is NASA reporting. Successful completion of multi-day test. NASA successfully completed a test of procedures that would be used to switch to backup hardware on Hubble in response to the payload computer problem. This switch could occur next week after further preparations and reviews. Bob, a very good evening to you. How is your buddy Hubble?
I have no idea. I'm not optimistic, actually. I'm really very concerned that this thing is going to be over with this problem. It's been out of commission since mid-June. One of their computer units, or maybe two of their computer units on the telescope failed. And they've been trying, they have backups to these units, but they've been struggling to try to figure out exactly where the failure is. And it appears it's possible that it's in two different computer modules, or at least it's in one module that will require them to switch out two different modules. At least I think that's how I understand the situation. What it means is that they can't just simply flip a switch and switch to a backup module, a computer module hardware. They have to do a very careful step-by-step sequential switch of several units. And it's apparent to me, based on everything they've written so far, and they haven't given us real details because it's complicated and it's technical, and it's kind of boring if you go into too much detail, seriously. But the sequence of how they switch is very important, and they've got to do it in the right manner. And it appears that what they've been doing is using equipment they have on the ground that duplicates what's in the telescope. They have been testing the switch. Now, they did a similar switch like this in 08. And so they're optimistic they can do this switch again. And what's happened now is that they've successfully completed a simulation of that switch using ground equipment. Now, they're going to do further reviews and review, look at it more closely to be absolutely sure. But but based on what they've seen so far, they're going to attempt to do this on the telescope itself next week. And we must cross our fingers and toes and hope this works. If it doesn't work, I mean, I'm sure they're going to say, well, we're going to keep looking, but it's going to be really serious if it doesn't work.
Bob, the only experience I have with this sort of protocol is the Apollo 13 movie, where on the ground they went through simulation after simulation in order to achieve a certain metric that seemed impossible at first. Again and again they went through it until they found a shortcut so that everything worked. Is that what they're doing here for a robot?
Well, this is routine, actually, with Hubble, and it's Apollo 13 just is following the same procedures that have existed from day one. You try to simulate everything, and you try to have a duplication of what's in space on the ground. For example, they've got duplicate rovers on the ground that they can test certain maneuvers on. And so this is routine. They whenever there's an issue, they have ground equipment in which they can test what they want to do, and they do that because they don't want to make a mistake. You know, this is not easy because you're not right there. You have to do this remotely, and you got to pray that your maneuver works. If it doesn't work, you can make things seriously worse. So, no, it's totally normal to do it this way. What's abnormal here is the failure seems to be requiring a more complicated fix than they first expected.
Ingenuity does not need a fix. It's doing very well. This is the flying toaster on Mars, Ingenuity. Accompanying Perseverance as a scout. I find this all very romantic to imagine Ingenuity as Tonto and the Lone Rangers coming up slowly behind. Ingenuity has been turned into the eyes of Perseverance. What is it seeing, Bob?
Well, they're only now beginning to download the color and black and white images that Ingenuity took on its ninth flight. The ninth flight where they were pushing the envelope significantly, they doubled the distance it's flown, more than doubled. In many ways, they quadrupled the distance they were going to fly before. They had flown before, and they flew faster and higher than they had flown before. And most important, they flew across much rougher terrain than they'd flown before. And it was also rougher terrain than they ever expected to fly this helicopter before on Mars. Ingenuity, remember, was originally just supposed to be a 30-day engineering test to see if you could fly a helicopter on Mars. They should completed their test program so successfully they've now made it an operational scout for Perseverance. And what this ninth flight did was the first real scouting mission for Perseverance. It basically flew over an area on Mars that Perseverance is not going to travel because Perseverance, you know, it's too rough. And it landed the helicopter where Perseverance is going to end up in probably about 2 weeks, let's say. And in the process, the helicopter took pictures across this rough terrain. They're only beginning to now download them. I've looked at a few. I'll probably wait a day or so, and then I'll post some on Behind the Black. They'll probably have a press release at that point. But what this is doing is it's actually now doing the kind of scouting a helicopter would do, at least on the very preliminary kind of level. It is looking at places where the rover is not going to go, and it's giving scientists a view of those places. And so that widens the scientific data significantly that the lander is bringing back, the rover is bringing back to us. It's very significant.
The terrain, Bob, has these rocks sticking out now and again, and then in between looks like dust or sand. Are the rocks what they try to avoid because they're tough on the wheels?
In general, first of all, Perseverance is relatively fresh to the Mars surface, so they're still in somewhat of a checkout period, and they're going to try to keep it to the simpler, safer places at this moment in time. Their wheels are upgraded wheels, so I think the problem is less of an issue here. But nonetheless, yes, they're going to try to avoid this kind of area, at least at this point, and let the helicopter take the views in. What the helicopter did is it flew over what they think is a very, very eroded old crater that's now mostly filled with sand and sand dunes. So when it flew over, it had to actually dip down into the interior, staying in the air, of course, and then come across and then fly back up over the old eroded rim to land where it was going to, where it landed. And so it had to figure that out. And this is very much more sophisticated than they originally intended this Ingenuity to do. I linked to their update on this, and they talk about the software changes they made. It's technical, but those are interesting. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, it's quite fascinating how they've maneuvered, you know, upgraded this on the fly to do this kind of stuff.
I want to comment, Bob, because now and again you lead me to these pictures that I don't see routinely. This is a very strange planet, Bob. Very strange. That there is. I think, well, this is like a desert, but no, it's not like a desert. Everything, we're inside a crater, aren't we? I mean, this is something that was created a long time ago.
You're talking now about Jezero Crater, correct?
Yeah,
it's in the middle, on the floor of Jezero Crater, and we've gotten close. To a certain extent, John, the floor of this crater is not that alien. Wait, we're about to talk about something more alien, but it is still an alien planet. There is no life on the planet visible, and this is very alien to Earth because you can't pretty much go anywhere on Earth without seeing some kind of plant life or form of life on the surface. It just does. There's almost no place that exists like that on Earth. But here, there's nothing. There's no visible life. It's just dirt and rock.
And the rim of the crater, Bob, looks like something scary is about to come over the top. That's what it looks like.
Well, now you're getting, I think, a little bit imaginative. It's a mountain chain. It's just that it happens to form circles. On Earth, most mountain chains don't form circles. Here, they do. But, you know, if you're looking in one direction, it just looks like a mountain off in the distance to my eye. You want to be more imaginative, go right ahead. That's okay with me.
Bob is my Martian explorer. Everything is very recognizable to him. So we go to Martian dunes in the North Pole. Bob, this looks like somebody dropped a bunch of marbles.
Well, you know, when you were talking about how alien the planets look, I thought you were going to refer to this picture. This is really alien. That's one of the reasons I posted. This is a picture of dunes. The North Pole of Mars has literally a giant sand dune sea that surrounds it, a ring of sand dunes that completely surrounds the North Pole ice cap. And so this is a picture of some of those dunes in that ring of sea. And they're weird because they're like scattered dunes. They're all kind of circular, domish looking. They all have dirt at the top and then a ring, a fringe of what looks like frost on their slopes. This could either be water frost because it's springtime. They're just beginning to be heated by the sun. Or it could be even that mantle of carbon dioxide, very thin mantle of carbon dioxide, dry ice that deposits itself on the poles in the wintertime and then sublimates away during the spring. Either way, they just look, it's alien. This is a very alien environment. This is sand. It's sand dunes, but they're frozen hard. You know, it's very cold. It never gets above freezing here. So this is hard as rock in many ways.
We're taking possession with questions we haven't answered yet. That's what Mars is being acquired by a curiosity. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going space engineering next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.